making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. And I want to start by asking you the question, what is the meaning of life? It seems that so many in our day are seeking to answer that question. They grope around. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for understanding. All of these big questions are before us. And there's so many ways that people are trying to find relevance to their life and to hope and to what this is all about, why we exist, these bigger questions of life. And this week we want to take up this subject that talks about and that looks in the Bible about God and about eternity and about just who we are and why we're here. Psalm 90 is the verse and the passage that we're going to take up this week. And Psalm 90, of course, is one of those psalms that addresses the bigger questions of life and existence and God and eternity. And I guess as I open this psalm, I say we must confess after reading a psalm like this that the writer here is brutally honest in Psalm 90. If you have your Bibles open, I would encourage you to turn there. This writer has been through it. He's not somebody of whom we can say that he doesn't understand what others have suffered in life. He's been through it. He's experienced the worst. And it is in light of his trial and his suffering that the brevity of life really does smack him right in the face. And that is such an important message to think about as we come to the end of 2006 and we'll soon begin 2007. The years go by so quickly, and what is the meaning then? What purpose are we serving as these years fly by? What is our life? As the psalm progresses, the writer of Psalm 90 will see that through the hourglass of this life, a light that truly does shine through. There is hope even when the truth of the preacher says, vanity, vanity. But it is this theme of the brevity, the shortness, the transiency of life that really does amplify the writer's pain in Psalm 90. That life is only a breath. We appear for a while, and then we vanish away. And through his struggle here, we see a saint of God, a believer in Jesus Christ, coming to realize his place in life. We see him finally, after years on this earth, ready for death, finally understanding why he's here, understanding fully that soon he will die. And it's in the midst of feeling the weight of these bigger questions of life that he works through his pain to his only hope and his only comfort in life and in death. But today it's good to keep the perspective of this suffering saint before us because really, friends, his story is our story if you are a Christian. I begin by saying, I guess, this message is nothing new. We've heard it again and again. I'm simply repeating what here everyone knows. None of this comes as a surprise if you're listening today. We are going to die. Life is short. If our life is compared to a flower, we know that tomorrow will be gone. And while this is true again before us, I'm rehearsing something that we really do forget or at least live life not wanting to think about. Death, my friends, is a reality that we all have to face. And it's something that knows no favoritism. No one can prevent it. The scriptures, the Bible is clear that it is appointed for man to die once, then the judgment. And no one has any idea when their lives will be required of them. Death can take hold of the infant as well as the 100-year-old man. It is a reality for the 16-year-old as it is for the 60-year-old. But the question, of course, is whether our lives are spent living in light of the next, whether there truly is any hope, whether we have our hearts set on another land, a heavenly land with a heavenly home where Christ is. Whether we are storing up our treasures there, as Jesus said. I would say that one of the greatest challenges for the Christian today in our prosperous society is to live this life in light of what is coming. And what a challenge, my friends. See, so many fill up their time and their work to accomplish something that really does have no eternal value. One pastor tells the story of an article he read in Newsweek about a couple who took early retirement. He was 59 and she was 51. They moved to Florida, they bought a 30-foot yacht, they played softball and collected shells all day long. The pastor said this, "Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, see my seashells, Jesus?" And yet it's a very sad and common scenario. People living for the enjoyments of this life, pursuing goals in this life with no eternal value, and we could say wasting their entire being. The scriptures, of course, characterize this as utter foolishness. A fool rejects knowledge. And we are often left with the question, if our lives are but a vapor in the whole scheme of things, if we're here one day and then gone the next, what sort of mindset, what sort of reason might we have then to live life to the fullest? Is there any way in which we can live so that our lives are lived with purpose and with meaning, meaning at least in God's eyes? Is it simply live for today because tomorrow we're dead? I think that one day, Jesus, I remember this passage has always profoundly impacted me. One day, Jesus' ministry, he came to Caesarea Philippi. And Caesarea Philippi sat right on the major highway between Tyre and Damascus and was famous for its trade route system. It was a city of great commerce and business. People were rich. They were wealthy. And Jesus passed through, and he called all these people to himself that were in the nearby area. And he said, now imagine this. It must have been like standing on Wall Street in New York. And then he says this, "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" What a statement, isn't it? Jesus is saying, see all this prosperity, and in America, there's so much prosperity. What does it profit you if you get it all and lose that which is most valuable to you, your own soul? Jesus was driven and presented such an eternal perspective to those who were caught up in the fleeting, passing pleasures of a life that is temporary. I was watching on the news the other day, and they did a special on the great epidemic of AIDS in Africa, and you have children suffering this, and you have parents dying, and the grandparents are the ones taking care of these children, and they have no food, and they have very little. And I thought to myself, you know, I watched them, and though they didn't complain, they dealt with their problems. It seems that in America, with all of the things that we have, we are the most discontent society in the world, wanting more, more, and more. When I was a child, I loved to play Monopoly. And maybe many of you, I'm sure, have played that game. And I would win loads of cash, park place, houses, you name it. And it always bothered me. After all that work, after spending hours, you know how long that game is, beating opponents or taking money, that all of my acquired possessions went back into the box. And in a real sense, that is an accurate analogy of life, isn't it? Everything we work for, all of our present enjoyments go back into the box since nothing of these temporal things are taken with us into eternity. Naked we were born and naked we enter into eternity. And so again then, we're left with that question, how can we find a life of meaning? How people want that, don't they? We have to ask, what drives us? Where are we placing our focus? When we stand before the Lord very soon, will it be evident before all that our entire lives were lived for the glory of Christ and the advancement of His kingdom? That's why we were created, to glorify Him, to enjoy and know this God who is the creator of all things and who gives us life and redemption in Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, it was this issue of the vanity of this life, apart from Christ, that really drove Moses to write Psalm 90. Moses had come to see firsthand the frailty of human life. how transient life really is, that we don't have enough time to live in waste. And so Moses gives us the perspective of a dying pilgrim, an aged man whose maturity had led him to see in faith that amidst the fleeting form of this life and the emptiness in it, there is something that was a sure foundation for him. There was someone whose eternity provided for him hope in death. Psalm 90 is a fascinating psalm because it's the only one written by Moses. And what makes it so interesting at the time frame in which he wrote it. Many have recognized the psalm was written primarily for the tribes of Israel in the wilderness. And in light of the fact that it was Moses as the author, it tells us a lot about this psalm, doesn't it? Moses' primary purpose is to contrast the eternity of God with the frailty and weakness of man. Now, if that's the case, he starts off the psalm by saying, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting unto everlasting, you are God." Now, what was Moses realizing? That our only hope is in the fact that God stands above all of this, that God is the only one who can reach down and save sinners who are passing and flying away with the tide waves of time. And the only hope in life and in death, my friends, is if you have Jesus Christ as the Savior of your life. We're going to look at this in this coming week. That turns out to be Moses' only hope, that he knows Jesus Christ, and that for him, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and that for him, in Jesus, there is life for all who call upon his name. People today, this moment, are dying. Who knows how many thousands and maybe even millions around this world, this week and in the weeks to come, will perish forever. But the only way that you will truly know a life that matters and is lived with meaning is if you are in Christ. You know Christ and are being nourished and grown in Him. You must believe in Jesus in the day of salvation, and then and only then will you be able to live a life that truly matters in the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us this Sunday for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. No gimmicks, no entertainment, no tickling of the ears, but only the proclamation of Christ and Him crucified, a message that is actually able to save your soul. Visit us on the web, www.lindenurc.com, or you may call us 360-318-0429. Again, may Jesus be your only comfort in life and in death.